This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to The Hotbed. This is Series 2, Episode 8, Hush Now Whilst I Listen to My Ronnie. I'm Aniki Somerville.
And I'm Lisa Williams.
And we've actually got a guest presenter this week as well, haven't we?
We have. She will be coming in.
She's going to join us any minute.
Any minute, yeah. We're The Hotbed Collective.
Namaste.
The Hotbed Collective, Aniki, what is it?
We're a collective of people.
Hellbent.
On
making
the world
a better
place,
one
orgasm
at a time.
Oh, we've never done it like that before.
No, but I quite like it because I think it fits in with the topic of this episode, which is sex and mysticism and how these wonderful supernatural / pseudoscience elements of our life can affect our sex life and our well-being and our relationships. And I like the fact that we had a little bit of meditation on our existence and who we are
at the beginning,
and then a little bit of reciprocating, like
I'm gazing very steadily into your eyes.
Yeah, it feels quite tantric,
and so I'm feeling like we're having a kind of connection that goes beyond the purely physical. Which is kind of a bit what sex and mysticism, or the area of mysticism, is all about, isn't it?
Yep, I think so. But we actually have something, a little class announcement before we
head in
to our Yoni workshop. We're having a live event. It's going to be on September the 27th, 2018, if you're listening from the future. It's going to be in Shush Women's Store, which is, if you know, Hotbed fans will recall, in the Dr. Karen episode, Dr. Karen Gurney at the Sex Doctor had just taken Aniki and I to this store, and we had looked at various sex toys and instruments and paddles, and we were sex puddles. And we were quite kind of high on life there. It's a really special place. It's a cafe, an antique shop with a little sexy little curtain that you go behind, and that's where they sell all this cool stuff. And they're going to do an event with us.
Hooray!
So tickets will go live at some point this week. So please keep your eyes peeled on our Instagram account at The Hotbed Collective, where we will post ticketing information and a link. It is going to be a fundraiser for the Eve Appeal, which focuses on gynecological cancer. Can you say that word?
Again. Gynecological.
So it's going to be a fundraiser. We're going to have a little demo of some of their best-selling sex toys.
Some fun games. Some laughter.
Aniki has been working out some really fun games, and she's so excited about it, she now is considering a bit of a career change. I think that you're now what Richard Osman is to Pointless, you are to The Hotbed. So you're there.
Didn't you say that I was Bernard Manning? I think you sent me a message saying that I was Bernard Manning, and I was trying to Google him. And then I realised that Bernard Manning was like really, really un-PC and very rude and always puts his foot in it. It's got nothing to do with sex and mysticism, though, has it? Unless he had a sideline in alternative thinking.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yoga, but I don't think Bernard Manning did many yoga videos.
Well, yeah, he's quite unsavory. I'm not saying you're unsavory, I'd say you're very sweet. It just occurred to me. So that's our news. Anyway, I would love to see some of you at our live show. We are promising all kinds of fun. You can have a look at what is on sale in Shush Woman's store. You can have a quick look at the dildo workshop where they make dildos, where they make leather harnesses. This all sounds kind of very out there, but bear in mind that I'll be there and so will Bernard Manning.
Bernard Manning.
So there's any out there, any so out there you're going to go. We're going to be raising lots of money for charity and having some fun. So please keep your eyes open for our ticketing link and we will see you there. We're really looking forward to meeting some new faces.
So this week we're excited because we've got a special guest. We've got Kerry with us.
Hello.
Today. Hello.
Hello.
And we just had a big long discussion about how humid it is. And actually, if you could do a little pan out shot at the moment, you'd see it actually looks like I've had a shower.
Yeah, sweating.
And actually, Kerry's looking very well put together.
Yeah.
And it's got lovely, made up face. And I'm just feeling like,
thank you.
I look like I've just come out of a steam room.
Kerry is also wearing a t-shirt that says shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Trying not to take it personally.
Yeah, no, I love it.
It's Don't great. Take offence.
It's really cool.
So tell us a bit about yourself.
Okay, so I'm Kerry and I'm 29.
And you're on blind date.
I've got two Instagram accounts. One of them is my business, which is my handmade clothing company. Children's, and I've just branched into adults. Everything's handmade. And my other account is basically where I just share what I'm about, like things I like, fashion, motherhood, you know. Shits and gigs. Can we swear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you say adult wear, it's not, because sometimes when people say adult wear,
sailor suits.
Like t-shirts, like
t-shirts.
Cool.
We're not talking
cool
about
prints.
Like
a high
sort of cut back.
No, definitely not. Yeah. Like cool t-shirts, cool prints, like quirky prints, stuff you can't necessarily find on the high street. Is how I like to think. What I go for.
And it's at Coco and Indie.
Yeah, Coco and Indie.
And then
Life with Ivy Coco.
Is your...
Which I always think sounds like a sexually transmitted infection.
Living life with Ivy Coco.
Yeah, like, you know, my life with this disease,
you
Ivy
can still
Coco.
Live with it.
This episode's all about sex and mysticism.
Yeah.
Which is like a subject, to be honest, I didn't know anything about until we first started sort of talking about it. And one of the things we sort of wanted to talk about a bit was tantric sex.
Yeah.
Which is a whole area, which... Unfortunately, I think Sting has kind of given it a bad name because, I mean, as soon as you see the words tantric sex, you just think Sting.
Sting and Trudy Styler.
Trudy Styler. Which, to be honest, I mean, he's very well, they're very well preserved, the two of them.
Well, you would be, wouldn't you, if all that.
But have you had any experience of tantric sex at all?
No.
Or have you ever ventured into that?
No, not that I'm can recall.
What about you, Lisa? Are you a tantric sex person?
Not intentionally, but sometimes it does take a very long time.
Right. Because what I've got, ladies, for both of you, because I think I like to think that you can go home this evening.
Yeah.
Maybe start doing a bit of tantric sex at home.
Hmm.
So I've just got a few tips, right? And I just want to hear what you
it's
think
long though,
this.
Isn't it? Tantric sex. It's quite it's timely. Time.
And yeah, sex after kids.
Yeah.
When you've got little children,
like,
you're like
adverts. Let's go.
Yeah. I know there is a bit of a problem with that. I don't think I'm just going to read one little thing. I found this on the internet, so there will be tantric sex practitioners who will be cringing and going, "She's got it all wrong, that's not right." But one thing you can do is you can sit facing your partner,
right,
and you can rock together back and forth, so that you're inhaling as your partner is exhaling, and you can share the breath together. So basically, you're not actually having intercourse. You're actually, I mean, really, if you're really getting it right, you might already be feeling a sense that you're going to orgasm just from this breathing technique of rocking back and forth.
And are you singing Row, Row, Row Your Boat at the same time?
No, I think you're just literally, hopefully they've not eaten a kebab, and you're just breathing in their breath and they're breathing in your breath.
Okay.
Like when you've been with someone for too long and like their breath just does your head in.
Mm. Are you not a morning sex gal then?
Not really. Yeah. Only when he's been away.
Yeah.
Is when we kind of like get a bit of the horn and kind of venture out from just your standard.
And how long does he need to have been away for? Is that gone to the shops or is that like a
good, no, like because he works away.
Is he like, can I come back yet, Kerry?
Yeah, because he works away. That's the only time in the morning. Yeah. Not really for me. I'm not really. I don't like being touched in the morning. I'm not like, yeah.
I like to have a shower, I must say.
Same.
Yeah, I like to, I don't know, I just don't feel like sexy. But when he's been away, like, you kind of like miss each other and like you a bit more intimate and kiss, you've got more time. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like he'll make more of an effort. So I don't mind that. And, you know, as I've openly said on Instagram, we started trying for a baby and where he is away when I'm ovulating, sometimes we've only got a 6 o'clock in the morning, bish-bash-bosh opportunity.
Then it's the opposite of tantric, really, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we've got,
you
yeah.
You want to be doing that quite quickly.
I don't think I could do the rowing.
Do you have tantric sex with Sting?
Possibly.
I probably would, because I think... Well,
I think I'd have time to, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I kind of think if you are going to do it with anyone...
You make an effort when it's someone new, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, if you're going to do it with anyone, it may as well be him, because he's just become
like
associated with it. So the thing I was just going to mention was, have you heard of edging?
Yes.
So OMG Yes, which is the app, which I think we're going to review in the third series. It's an app that basically has asked loads of women how they orgasm, and there's loads of different techniques and things on this iPad app. And they came up with this concept of edging, which a lot of women do, but they didn't have a name for it, which was basically you bring yourself or someone brings you nearly to orgasm, and then you stop what you're doing and you do something different, nearly come to orgasm, stop that. And you basically like edge your way to orgasm until eventually when you do have an orgasm, it's like completely amazing because you've edged your way there. And it's slightly like a bit of a tease and like a bit tantric.
Bit
That's my kind of tantric.
Bit of a cock tease.
Yeah, clit tease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. It's funny that you mentioned that because I think I've probably done it, but probably more because someone's discovered me. If someone's come up the stairs or... Do you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
Like, oh, for example,
yeah, you've had to stop.
So I've not done it
and then restart.
And then I've had to go downstairs and warm up some pasta. And then I've had to come back again. And maybe I've got back into it.
Yeah, when
my mum's called.
Yeah.
So then I've stopped.
When I have a moment on my, when I have a moment to myself upstairs, he's at work, she's at nursery, it's kind of my thing to de-stress. And I do sometimes try and hold off a bit.
Yeah,
because it's sometimes too good. You don't kind of want it to be over that soon.
Yeah,
you know what
and
I mean,
if you're using a vibrator, definitely.
Yeah.
Don't you find
I'm
it
a
can
bullet,
just be
I'm
like,
a bullet
whoop.
Kind of girl. Within
bullet
like,
girl.
Yeah, within like a minute, 2 minutes, I'm like there. So I've started trying to like hold off.
Yeah.
And like try and enjoy it more.
Now,
really.
One is shake your body alive. So basically, you have to shake the whole of your body for 1 minute.
Together?
Well, I think you just do it as preparation for sex. Hopefully not
right,
in front
okay.
of your partner. You'll see
I was going to say, it's not going to be a turn on.
And then when you've opened up all the areas of your body that are tense, you'll be more likely, and this is the mythical whole body orgasm, which I don't think I've ever had. But I know if I had some.
What's a mythical whole body orgasm?
Well, I think because sometimes you can have an orgasm where it is very centred around your sort of pelvic area,
right.
I guess, and you can but then I suppose if you do this edging, or if you can really feel potentially an orgasm where your whole body is taken over with pleasure.
I like the idea of the body shake as a kind of mating ritual, you know, like how a bird might fluff up their feathers.
Yeah.
So you could like wear nipple tassels and like something with like a flapper dress and just be like jump into bed. I like that actually. That's
I like
the
idea of it because I think it's kind of like letting loose a bit, like you're shaking off like the stiffness,
definitely,
and, like,
you know, like how a footballer
relaxing
before a game might do loads of like star jumps and things.
It's yeah,
like a little
it's
bit
like
that.
That isn't it? Yeah,
I think we're gonna do this. It's a really good these
I'll
are
do
really
the shake
tips.
It up I'll do the shake it up for sure. Yeah.
Okay,
well, I feel like now I need to
put Taylor Swift on.
Yeah,
exactly.
If it's not in your comfort zone, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know, like, when you try something, when you've been with someone for a while and you try something out of your comfort zone, it's a bit, you don't know what they're going to think in a way. Like you feel a bit awkward doing it.
And you feel like the things in your room are watching you, for example. So you're like, you see all the kids' stories that are always piled up on the bed, and there's that pile of washing that if you have a little side eye during a sexy moment, you're just like, yeah, oh, fuck, I've got to do that.
Do you
washing
know
later?
You've said, you've mentioned that, and I suddenly realised that I've got a photograph of my gran on the bedside.
Staring
table.
At you, staring at you getting off.
Well, I was just thinking it for Paul. Like, it's quite.
That's
it's,
not
I've
sexy.
Got this old picture of my gran
by your
when
bed.
She's a nurse.
Actually, that might be like vintage hot.
Well, but she's basically my gran, bless her, because she's gone now. But yeah. She had very, very large glasses, very large, and she's in very large glasses with her nursing hat on, and it's a black and white picture. And I've always had it on the bedside table, and I've never thought for a minute that that would be an
a turn off.
But now I'm sort of thinking about it, I'm thinking Paul's probably projecting.
Well, it could probably be, it could be one way, sexy nurse.
What have you got pictures of in your room that might be a turn off?
Not necessarily pictures in our room. Just I kind of feel like just the life stuff, you know, like washing.
Yeah.
It's just not very sexy.
No,
you
dirty
know,
pants and not in like an eBay
it's
kind
like
of way.
Even when I have my moments when I'm stressed and I go off to have a little date night with my bullet, I close all my blinds and I close the door and it's like I can't look at myself in the mirror. It's really weird.
Mm. I've got lots of pictures of dead pets. Like they're not dead in the pictures, but the pets are no longer with us. Yeah, and like you and your granny.
whatever gets you going, a dead pet.
It's so strange.
That's a bizarre thing to have by your bed anyway, like an array of all your dead, like your guinea pig and your goldfish.
I'm thinking now that I need to like, because one of the bits I didn't read out was creating a sacred space, which I suppose is what you're saying, actually.
Yeah.
It's getting rid of the washing, getting rid of the pictures of grandma Life. And the dead pets. And making it feel like it's somewhere where you want to have sex.
Wouldn't it be really good if we like lived in an alternative universe where we had such big houses that we could have a sex room?
Oh my God, I'd love that. I would 100% love a sex room.
Yeah, but like currently it would have to be mixed use, laundry / kids bedroom.
Playroom / sex room.
Yeah. I went to, years and years ago, I went to a colleague's house and I'd accidentally gone into the wrong room. And basically, I slipped into his bedroom by mistake. And over the bed, he had one of those full body harnesses. You know, the swing. So basically, one of you gets into
the Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee sex swing.
But hanging over the bed. And once I'd seen that, I couldn't unsee it. But there was also this strange part of me, which was like, oh my God, this is a proper sex room.
Yeah.
It was dark curtains, lots of dark velvet kind of furnishings. It was like a
full on.
It was very intimidating because if you went in and you didn't want to have sex, you'd feel quite intimidated.
Yeah, of course. And if that's not, again, if it's not in your comfort zone as well.
Well, it could be alarming.
I wonder if they put that house on the market, if it'll end up on Rightmove.
I'd love to see like a house with a sex room on Rightmove. That'd be quite interesting.
I've never seen it before.
Is there a filter on Rightmove where you can search for houses with sex rooms?
Four bedrooms, three bathroom, one sex room.
Zone 3. I thought we would do something fun and review some crystal dildos because Anarchy Somerville, as listeners of the Hotbed will know, hates any kind of sex toy that involves an app, something that needs charging, anything that has instructions longer than 3 words. And you can't really get more basic than a crystal dildo. So we found a company called theglassdildo.co.uk. Does what it says on the tin. It sells crystal dildos, precious stone dildos. They call them wands, yoni wands. I think we all tried something different. When I say tried, there was a problem, wasn't there, Kerry?
Yeah, so I couldn't bring myself to get involved with the eggs.
So Kerry had 3 very lovely,
they're very lovely,
shiny,
beautiful, black, shiny eggs.
Yeah. And
small, actually.
Yeah.
And what they do, so there's three of them.
This one won't even touch the sides, if I'm honest with you. That's very small.
I mean, that basically is a mini egg. That's like,
it is.
This is what I'm worried about. Cause
it's like a mini egg, then like a galaxy egg, and then like you upgrade to like a cream egg.
Or Kinder.
Yeah, Kinder.
And so these work like love balls. So you put the little one in up your vagina, and it helps to exercise the pelvic floor. And then when you feel comfortable with that, you then upgrade to the galaxy egg?
Galaxy egg.
And then that gets heavier and you kind of tone the muscles even more. And they do look very, very pretty, don't they? But Kerry, what was the problem?
So I've got a bit of a funny story. So a family member once put love eggs in their vagina and forgot about it and went shopping and then realised that they had in Safeways, back when it was Safeways and not Morrison's, that they had love eggs in. So where this story always comes up, I couldn't bring myself to do it because all I could think was of that family member.
I think you can, can go out and about, but obviously she was finding it.
You probably
very
could if you're brave.
I had a tiger eye yoni wand, which was quite beautiful.
That sounds a bit spicy.
So
tiger eye.
Tiger eye is a stone which looks sort of like tortoiseshell.
Right.
And funnily enough, it was always my favourite precious stone when I was little, because obviously when you're little you have a favourite precious stone. Mm. So it's kind of like brown and black and like really pretty. It looks like an eye. You know, it's really beautiful. And it's wand, which is kind of like a dildo. It's quite small though, and it's quite lovely and very smooth. And what I like about it is, rather than like a plastic vibrator, it's like natural material.
You know,
it's tiger eye. So if anyone's worried about kind of having weird plastic things.
Or allergies.
Yeah. Exactly. So, and it's all kind of, there's something very like pleasing about it. It almost looks like a sculpture. So you could, in fact, I did, before I tried it, I had it out on the side for ages. I had my mother-in-law over. I had probably some local NCT mums over and like literally no one would have batted an eyelid. It's like that pretty. It just looks lovely. Because it does worry you if you are going to like charge your crystals outside on a towel during a blood moon. You don't really want people to see that you've got
it. So you charge it outside then, yeah?
Yeah. That's the whole point of charging it. Mm. So that's good. So I really like mine. It was a thumbs up. And have a look, because the website is theglassdildo.com. co.uk and they're quite reasonable. They're not expensive. They're much cheaper than all this newfangled stuff that Anarchy doesn't like.
It's very expensive, isn't it?
Can be.
Some vibrators. Yeah. They're quite pricey.
They are. Whereas these are kind of an affordable option. What did you think of yours, Anarchy?
Well, see, I don't know what the official name of mine was.
Oh, I do.
Do you?
The Purple Punisher.
Punisher. So mine, basically, I've got like a few adjectives which I'd use to describe it.
Yeah.
One was it was very hard.
That's always a plus.
It's a thing of beauty. So we'll start with positives. Called the shit
quite an aggressive name.
It's, you do the positives are, you know, looked really lovely, could pass as something else. So could be an ornament if somebody saw it.
I thought it looked a bit like an orange squeezer, like a juicer. Yeah. I think you could juice the pineapple with it because it's quite long.
So what I did is we make a really nice pillar, sort of pillar rice. I don't know if you've ever done it, but it's you grind up cardamom seeds in a sort of pestle and mortar. So I used it to grind up the cardamom seeds. It's really hard. So
I'm hoping this was before you tried it out, yeah?
No, but this was an alternative use. Because to be honest, if I don't like the look of something, I've reached an age now where I won't try it. So basically I looked at it. I thought that does have a purpose. And the purpose is to grind up herbs.
Just words.
So Anarchy, I went out of my way to find a really basic sex toy with no instructions and no app,
and it still wasn't good enough.
I've got an idea of I will actually design. There's certain things I would like on my ideal sex toy if I could design it. And one idea I've had, which I will patent, so don't try and copy it, anyone, is you actually have the face of the person that you fancy.
Oh, stop it! Definitely not.
For me, and you could cut out different people, so almost like finger puppets. But for me, I would have maybe a Michael Hutchins face stuck on the top of the dildo. Mm. But then if I was in a different mood, I'd go, "Oh, do you know what? Today it's going to be
Denzel Washington,
or I was thinking about Cumberbatch, but I wasn't too
enamored.
But you know, or you could even if there's somebody, a friend or whatever.
They went. Virtual reality becomes a proper thing, and you should be able to program like a sex program where you can like have sex with an avatar or a sex doll. Like, does Benedict Cumberbatch have any rights over his own image, or can I just dream up a sex toy with him involved, and it's like a new area of law to be followed?
That's interesting, isn't it?
I don't know, Anarchy. I think it sounds like a really good plan, but you might have a few IP and identity issues to deal with.
Yeah, it needs a bit of work. Right, so this week I interviewed Uma Dinsmore Tully, and she's an amazing woman. She's basically a yoga therapist, author and a lecturer. She's kind of one of those people that when you talk to her, she's got this amazing sort of calming influence. So I think when I rang her, I was having quite a stressed out morning and wasn't feeling particularly namaste about anything. And she just had this very hypnotic way of talking to me.
So she is the originator of womb yoga, isn't she?
Yeah, it is womb yoga. But I don't know how much she wants to be just associated with that.
What is it?
Well, from what I can gather, it's essentially just a form of yoga that's more connected to sort of your that area of your body. Right. So you're not actually you're not doing yoga for your womb, but it's sort of working on the connection between your heart and your womb. And I think in particular what she was saying is that when you think about birth or even preparing for birth, there's an awful lot of fear around it. And so what she's trying to do is kind of almost getting you to accept to a certain point that, you know, you can do this, you can handle it, you can be strong enough to get through it. So she, I mean, she's just, you come away with it and you just feel really positive about it. So yeah, I really wanted to go and do some yoni yoga afterwards. So here she is. Can you tell me a bit about what it actually is? Because, I mean, obviously, I'm familiar with kind of normal, that's not the right term, but, you know, your regular kind
of... Patriarchal yoga, you mean? Yeah, most people think that yoga is something that's a series of physical exercises taught by some person who's learnt it from a man in India. And that's one form of yoga. That's sort of it. There's sequences and schools and lineages. But the fundamental intention of yoga is it's a sort of psycho-spiritual technology for self-care and expansion and connection. And the kind of yoga that I work with is fully comprehensive. Like, it actually works with, the idea is that it works with five bodies. There's a physical body, which is only one. And then you're working with energetic flows. That's the second body. And you're also working with people's emotional and mental states and their psychic connections. And you're also working with intuition. And that means you don't just move around. We do some really deep practices of trance where you're actually lying still, very beautifully led practices that are about deep rest and restoration. And then we're also doing practices that connect energetically through gesture and sound. And what that means is that you're actually listening to the body. You're learning to listen. And instead of having somebody tell you what you need to do. So I'm fundamentally a yoga therapist. When people ask me if I'm a yoga teacher, I tell them no.
No.
Yoga instructors are people who stand at the front of lines of people telling them what to do. And I create circle. We always work in a circle. And that means everybody's kind of equally present and respected. And that the main point is about respect and hospitality and welcome for what's happening in your body and the person you know best. And that's what women never get told. There's always somebody, some gynecologist or some sexologist or some kind of therapist who always knows better than you, or somebody who's written a parenting book. My intention is to empower people through these beautiful ancient practices of yoga. And partly what I'm doing is helping people reconnect with the fact that there's a deep power and energy within the cycles of women's lives that often gets eradicated when people practice yoga, because you have to pretend like you're not menstruating but don't show up if something real is happening to you, like you're pregnant or you're menstruating or you're menopausal or you're depressed or...
It's funny, isn't it? Because quite often if you do go to a yoga class, they'll say, is anyone on their period? And you kind of feel, you're made to feel almost a bit ashamed of, you know,
absolutely.
Obviously sort of announcing that in front of a whole class of men and women is quite hard.
What that does is dumb down people's connection to the cycle. Every day of your cycle matters. If you're working with menstruating women, there's not simply one day that you need to know about. Like, I'm currently ovulating. The way I behave around those days is going to be totally different. So I integrate menstruality consciousness into yoga practice to allow the deeper spiritual rhythms of menstruality consciousness, which doesn't just mean being aware of when you're bleeding. It means actually welcoming every stage of the cycle as a set of key. They're almost like some massive signposts that you're taught not to ignore, or letters from your cycle and yourself that you're taught not to open, you know? So actually how you feel premenstrually is going to require a different kind of yoga practice.
Some of our focus is pelvic floor health, and some of it is actually just sort of orgasms and actually helping women experience. I mean, because so many women don't actually experience orgasms or don't experience them often enough. Does it have an impact? Can it play an impact on sort of almost giving you better orgasms or more frequent?
Well completely, because part of the issue is not listening to your body and not knowing what a yes feels like and not knowing what a no feels like. And if you practice the kind of yoga that allows you to be sensitively attuned, not just to your sphincters. There's a huge technology in yoga to work with special mudras. They all have beautiful Sanskrit names. working with your anus, working with your vagina, working with your around the urethral sphincter, working with awareness of the cervix and the womb. And if you're doing that kind of work, it is impossible for it not to have some seriously positive impact on how you respond in your body to every kind of stimulus, things that lead to orgasm and things that lead to ecstatic happiness, being in life and also connecting with what feels like flow and the need for quietness and the need for stillness. So it's basically attuning the technology of yoga as a system of self-care and listening to the body is really helpful for empowerment, to actually listen to your body at all times and understand what's going on. So
do you sort of feel, because it's interesting, do you sort of feel, we're reading quite a lot now about how, you know, people are quite isolated, or you can feel quite disconnected from your body because maybe we're spending too much time sort of, I don't know, we're sort of locked into a cycle of busyness quite often and overwhelm. And do you feel like this kind of helps women almost reconnect with their bodies again in some ways?
Well, absolutely, because the whole point, I mean, I just got back from the United States. If you want to talk about overscheduled, overwhelmed, too busy people, you can see the future there. We need to make sure that we don't head into that, because people are incredibly exhausted and they have no time for love, no time for anything in their lives, because everything is so incredibly pressured. And as a feminist, I see that that's actually largely, it's becoming it's very debilitating mode of being that's based on a lack of self-worth, because you've got to be better and earn more and do more. And it's a driven thing that's to do with the whole capitalist structure that's actually like disconnected everybody from what it's actually like to be human. And I feel that yoga therapy and the practices of yoga that are responsive and kind are really helpful. You basically got a model where one size fits all, and if you happen to be the skinny bendy lady in the fancy leggings who can do all that stuff and who's got time to go on loads of yoga retreats, and that's then you feel at home, and everybody else feels a bit like they've got to match up to her, you know. And I just don't think that there's enough struggle in life. Yoga classes shouldn't be about struggle and competition. Everything else is like that.
I know, it's so true. Can you talk us through, I don't know if there is a sort of a move or a piece of, we always like to ask our listeners to try a little bit of homework, something that will, I don't know, not just improve their sex life, but, you know, maybe make them feel more relaxed, less overwhelmed, you know, more in touch with their bodies. Is there something that we can do at home that we can sort of try, a pose or a move or anything that you would recommend?
Well, you see, the thing is, people are fixated that yoga is about moving and poses. Mm. So my radical suggestion is that there are two simple, beautiful things you can do that give you an direct connection to the sort of thing I'm talking about. One is you go listen to free Yoga Nidra downloads from the Yoga Nidra network. Like, you can go up there, there's loads that I've put up there and my teachers have put up there, and you just find a quiet little space for 20 minutes and make yourself comfortable and just listen. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to move at all. And that's one thing. And the other is, there's a fundamental connection between the heart and the pelvis, between the pelvic organs, and we're particularly be thinking about maybe the womb and the cervix and the vagina and the vulva and the whole of the female genitalia. And there's this very simple womb yoga practice that enables you to send loving thanks and positive emotions from the heart down a special channel. It's not something you'd find in a dissection, but it's an energetic channel between the heart and the womb. And I can certainly talk you through that practice if that sounds attractive. It's like sending love into the womb from the heart. And you do it really simply using your hands and your breath. And you can just do it sitting down. So I can talk you through that. I'd say that's the fundamental practice, to send love and respect down. And then there's a two-way river. It kind of flows back up again. And it's a recognized meridian in acupuncture, and also it's a recognized energy channel in Ayurveda, the Indian medical system. And I work with it. Every single session that I do with women for yoga, we connect with this channel. So I can offer you a little couple of minutes of that, if that sounds appropriate.
That would be amazing, yes.
Yeah, so all you need to do is just sit or stand comfortably. And if you rub your hands, you'll find they get a little bit warm in the palms. So you can rub your hands. I'm doing that now, so you can hear that.
I'm doing it as well.
And on a hot day like this, or if you're listening to this in the middle of the winter, you might need to rub a bit harder. And then gently, you place one hand kind of over your heart, really. I often work with the sense of the heart center being in the middle of the breastbone, between your breasts, but you can place it wherever you feel connected to feelings of gladness. And then you put the other hand on top. So you've got a little pile of hands and you drop your chin a bit and you make a sighing sound. And you're basically trying to get out of your head and into this place that you can feel now, where you feel the warmth of your hands. You breathe your awareness down behind that. So when you exhale, it's like you could send the sound of your breath and all of your thoughts down into that space behind where the warm hands are setting. Can you feel that? And every time you breathe out, you get out of your head and into your heart. Every exhale, it's like a river flowing out of your head with all the thoughts and feelings. You don't have to stop them. You just send them down. And you breathe all the way down into your heart. And you start to feel as if your whole attention is there. And at that point, and I might be rushing you because you can take your time doing this, you simply let your awareness settle there. And then you let your hands make almost like a fingertips touching practice. Not quite like a prayer position, but maybe your two thumbs touch each other and your fingertips touch each other. And there's a little space there, like a little bud, you know, with the palms facing each other and the fingertips touching. And you breathe into that space and you put something like a kind of gladness, just to be glad to be like well enough and got a bit of time enough to sit and do this. You'd be glad. And then you're breathing into that space, and then you turn the hands around and you make like a little triangle resting on your breastbone across your two breasts. So your two thumbs are touching and your two index fingers are touching. And if you look down into that, it'll be like a little triangle that you've made. Yeah, and that's called yoni mudra. The yoni is the source or the vulva or the womb, depends how you think about it. But you're going to send the love that's inside that little triangle. You simply gently caress yourself. You slide your hands down along the front of the body all the way down until you get to the place where you feel the pubic bones. And then on the inhale, you swing the hands back up again to where you started. So the two thumbs come back to rest by your breastbone. And then every time you exhale, you send the loving energy out of your heart down into the womb, because you can feel your hands rest down there by your pubic bones. And every inhale, then all that creative energy, that power that's in the womb, you send that up into the heart. And as you exhale, you breathe your hands in that little triangle down along the front of the body, down to the pubic bones. I'm doing it with you to get the right timing. And as you inhale, you can invite that really powerful energy to come up into your heart, so that it's a very healing thing. Love travels down on the exhale of your hands into the womb space. And then the creative power energy from your source, from your womb, that comes up and it renews the heart's capacity to love. So every exhale, your hands move down and they greet that womb energy. Or if there isn't a womb there, if you've had a hysterectomy, you breathe into the space that's there, because that energy is still there. And every time you inhale, it comes up into your heart. And every time you exhale, you breathe all the way down along the front of the body and into the womb. And if you like, instead of moving your hands, you can very simply rest one hand over your heart, and the other hand now can just stay quiet and still over your pubic bones, reaching down towards the vulva. And you sit quietly with one hand on the heart and one hand right down. In yoga terms, it would be like right over the earth of your body, in your root, you know, over your mound of Venus, down the lower part of your belly. And just leave the hands where they are and you let the breath and the awareness move. So your hands stay still. But each inhale, you draw your attention up into your heart and you touch into something that makes you feel glad. And then you send the love from that gladness down into your lower hand and the inside of the body, and you just breathe in this way. It's a river of energy flowing in both directions, between the heart and the womb, exhaling down, inhaling up. And you can just be there for as long as you like. You can bring it into meditation, you can bring it into your yoga nidra, you can bring it into your daily life. You can do it quite happily wherever you are, feeling that exhaling awareness traveling out of the heart and down into the pelvis, and then inhaling all that energy from the pelvis, the creative powerhouse. You breathe it back up into your heart.
That is
the heart womb breath.
That is amazing, because even I mean, even when you were saying about putting your hand onto your heart, that immediately sort of takes you inside your body. Just to sort of wrap up, actually, I was, because this episode, we're going to be, when we're sort of talking about sex and mysticism, so sort of the role of star signs and moon cycles and sort of crystal dildos. And I guess for you personally, do you think there is a connection between sex and mysticism itself, and what is that connection?
Well, sex is mystical, you know. It's like the idea that anyone would not see the connection astonishes me. Like, it's what we have through our physical bodies that is, like, the cervix is a cosmic portal. I mean, these things, because the ecstatic, expansive, connected in-body and out-of-body experiences that we have at orgasm are absolutely fundamentally of an embodied spiritual and ecstatic nature. So the idea that anyone actually would ask a question about that really astounds me, because if you're actually fully embodied in your physicality, then to me, any kind of ecstatic or orgasmic experience is clearly an affirmation that the life force is moving through you in a way that's fundamentally it's mystical. Like, it depends how you define these things, but the way I look at them is that actually we're embodied spirits, and that's how the yoga that I do really works, that you're embodied, incarnate in a physical body, and that in order to allow ourselves to really connect with what that fully means, you have to be aware that there's not just a physical body. We are also emotional beings, intuitive beings, intellectual beings, and as well as being physical beings, there's energetic flow. And if that's free in your body, then those connections that we have with ourselves and with others and with nature, you know, are truly powerful. There's an amazing source of connection that's often described. Are you aware of something called the VPA?
No, I know VPL, but that's a whole other thing, isn't it? That's visible panty line.
Yes, that's the outer world. I'm interested in the VPA, is the vaginal pulse amplitude.
Right.
So Naomi Wolf writes about it in her book Vagina, A New Biography. And the vaginal pulse amplitude is that feeling that you can get. Women understand what this is like. It's a good feeling. It's like, that's it. Yes. It's a yes feeling. And you get that sense of tuning into that at a physical level. It can be like an attraction feeling. You know, it can be like, that's good. You know, or it can be a feeling of like, wow. Look at that mountain, feel that river, my God, see that ocean, you know, or look at that little child, or something that really talks to you, like, deep inside. Mm. And if we pay attention to that VPA, which we are taught, of course, to ignore, because it will get you into trouble, you know, because it's considered to be a purely sexual phenomenon, but it's actually about our whole being. And we're multidimensional beings, and yoga gives you a physical encounter with that, which is clearly going to be present. If you're paying attention to that, then you're listening in. And if you're actually listening in, it's not a fanciful idea to say that your cervix is the cosmic portal. We live in a whole culture that's really not very body positive, especially for women. So it's sort of inevitable that there's been this disconnection, because in order to try and conform with all sorts of societal pressures, we people aren't very kind to their bodies.
We don't really pay tribute to them. I suppose we're kind of educated, especially as women, to always look at the lack in them, you know, the fact that they're
exactly
not the right shape or size or texture, or, you know.
Yeah. And I would hope that one of the things we can do with really, really women-centered yoga practices and things, I mean, that's why I wrote the book. I mean, Yoni Shakti is full of practices that help women reconnect, but it's also full of some quite thoughtful things about why it might be that we might be disconnected, and how this is in fact a problem that we can solve. And part of the solution is to see that there is a problem, and that's a really fantastic thing. If you see there's a problem, you're thinking, I'm not very connected with my body, well, then you're kind of half the way there, aren't you? Because you're like, now what should we do about this? And there is so much that we can do, and also so much that we don't need to expend effort in. Just to spend time resting, a well-rested being is going to take more pleasure and joy in life, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Ah.
so you didn't need to do that now.
A queef. That's always my problem with yoga. Always my problem with yoga is that I remember doing some yoga when I was about 17 and we had to elevate ourselves from lying on our backs to like suddenly putting our like entire like our bum in the air and our legs over our shoulders. Mm. And I was the one in class that farted. And
was
I was too
vaginal fart.
Yeah, it was it was definitely air out of the vagina. Mm. And it was quite loud. Luckily, not a smelly one. That's the one thing we can say that queefs have going for them. Mm. But it was extremely loud. It reverberated around the exercise room. And the woman next to me literally couldn't control herself. She thought it was the funniest thing ever. And I wasn't in on the joke.
Oh, no.
She was just losing the plot. And I was sort of thinking, I would like to be the person laughing at the fart, not the one having done the fart.
No, I think that's really tactless, actually.
Yeah. I mean, there's not much funnier, though, than a fart in a situation where it's not supposed to happen.
See, I think that's what Uma says as well, because we do talk in the interview, as you've heard, we talk a bit about that. Just that, again, why shame somebody in that kind of situation, whereas ostensibly you're there to try and relax and chill out, but at the end you end up having this horrible experience where you feel quite self-conscious and like you don't want to go again.
And it can put you off, totally. Yeah. Now that we're feeling so zen and relaxed, it's a good chance to say that we are now going to be having a little namaste break over the summer. And we shall be returning in September. So what are you up to, Anarchy? Has Bernard Manning got any tour dates?
Well, I've got a good set gig on the end of Blackpool Pier, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's me. We've got a few other old timers.
Richard Littlejohn.
Freddie Starr's coming in with me.
Right.
I think Richard Littlejohn. Who's the guy who does talk radio?
Nick Ferrari.
Basically, we're sort of doing a kind of alternative Top Gear comedy stand-up. But I'm the only woman, so I'm slightly worried about it.
Yeah.
Because they are quite outspoken in their views.
So that tea is not going to make itself.
What are you doing, Lee? So I know you're having extensive reconstructive plastic surgery, aren't you?
Shit, how did you find out?
Well, it just popped out of my brain.
That was supposed to be a secret.
Sorry, we won't talk about that. But basically, when Lisa comes back again, she's going to look very different, aren't you?
I mean, most people would call it a spa break. That's, I think, the polite way of describing it.
In Palm Springs.
Yeah, I'll come back looking, hopefully, at least 20 years older. So that's where I'm going. I'm going to have a really lovely time. I'm going to send you some Instagram live stories from surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see pictures of you in your Kiss Me Quick hat with your Sick of Rock, sitting on a donkey.
And then when are we coming back then? Have we got a date or are we just thinking organic September?
We're thinking September because 27th of September is our show. Follow us if you don't already on Instagram at The Hotbed Collective. We will be continuing activity as usual over the summer. And also make sure if you haven't subscribed already that you do subscribe to our podcast so that you know when our next episode
is
going live. Or write a review. Because Anarchy, last time she toured with Richard Littlejohn, the reviews weren't great.
They weren't great, us.
I
should say is if you are going to review us, just do it if you're feeling good. If you're having a really crap day and you just want to vent, then don't bother.
No. And don't tell your friends about us either.
No.
So that's your main homework.
Review and subscribe. But also do some meditations.
And we will see you in September. We hope you have a wonderful, restful rest of the summer. Namaste.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.